This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Got Matty Ice right here. Matt George, let's get all set. Matt, boy, it's got to be a tough day for you, Matt.
My music career.
It's the end of an era for Matt George. We're going to step out. We're going to regroup. We're going to process this information, but based on that statement from XL Sports, it sure looks like, as you know, as a matter of fact, you know what? Let's ride. Let's call an audible. Let's keep going. Jesse, let's keep going. No need to break right now. We've got news in front of us. Let's keep riding. I saw you shaking your head, Matt, as we came in. You obviously saw the tweet from XL Sports. Adrian Wojnarowski retweeted it. James Hamm is now on it. My opinion, straight out the gate, Marvin Bagley's career with the Kings is over.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's done. It's absolutely done. Like, how there's no chance in hell that this is not anything but the final straw of a teenage girl's final text in a bad breakup. That's exactly what the hell this is. It's embarrassing, man. It's embarrassing. It's completely.
Oh.
Matt is so worked up. He's just like, I'm out. I can't deal with it. It's too emotional. It's too emotional. No, he's back.
What?
Team Bagley got to your setup over there.
I got so emotional. Somehow I hit backspace. Hey, this is I don't know where I cut off because I kept going before I realized that I was no longer here. I spent yesterday's Lockdown Kings podcast talking about this exact thing. Everything was going in this direction. This is exactly where we were headed. I thought it was very, very telling that Marvin Bagley was available for the final preseason game and Luke Walton couldn't find a way to get him into the rotation. And it's not going to be because he was taking a look at other guys, because Kings starters and important players were playing regular season minutes in that game. I mean, we've just been heading here for a long, long time. And what's a real shame here is you guys just touched on it, because this dropped right as I tuned in, right as I joined this show and the call here. This makes so much sense for how Marvin Bagley has been his entire career to this point. How Marvin Bagley continues to be enabled. You have an agent right here that not only is pulling on the low-hanging fruit that we've been talking about for a while, blaming the Kings organization, who has been a screw-up in the past, blaming the organization for all your problems. Now you just took any little bit of potential that your client had to get paid a decent amount of money somewhere, and you just chuck that crap right out the window. It's absolutely embarrassing, not surprising at all. And Marvin Bagley and the Sacramento Kings are done. It's over. Let the breakup begin. Bring out the tub of ice cream. Here we are.
I mean, it's stupid. Let's just call it what it is. I'm not calling the man stupid. I'm not calling it. But this move, this strategy, it's dumb. That's just what it is. Yeah. You're sitting up here, you've already cost the man upwards of $100 million.
Absolutely.
With the way, and we've mentioned this numerous times. Damian broke it down beautifully earlier. Jaren Jackson Jr. is getting that deal that he got simply because he just played his role perfectly. He played his role perfectly on the court. Potential wise, what we've seen on the court, he hasn't done much of anything better or more than what Marvin Bagley has shown us. He just knew and had the smart people around him to shut his mouth, be a team player, and he was rewarded for it with the belief moving forward. Jeff Schwartz, Big Marv, Marvin III, They played it all poorly the entire time. And now they've cost themselves $100 million. And they appear grasping for straws for 6.5. You're not getting that. You're not getting 6.5.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't decide if I'm surprised or not. Like, I can't
You can't be this inept.
This explains everything.
It does.
Think about this. We spent so much time yesterday. We spent so much time since the Jaren Jackson contract talking about this, and we put it on Marv. And I told you his agent shouldn't be absolved of this. This explains everything. The reason his agent didn't step in is because his agent is perpetuating this. Mm-hmm. You talk about a case study of mismanaged by the Sacramento Kings. What do you think Jeff Schwartz has been feeding Marvin Bagley all these years? Mm-hmm. What do you think he's been saying about this organization all of these years? Come on, man.
It's clown behavior and it's ineptitude. It really, I'm not a math major or an agent. And this is, to be honest with you, I don't know anything about Jeff Schwartz other than the clients that he represents. And then this situation with Marvin Bagley. This is unbelievable that he could handle this situation this poorly with the amount of experience that he had. This is a guy that has clients like Jamal Murray, Kevin Love,
Harrison Barnes,
Chris Middleton. These are his clients. He's done this before. He's made guys money before. And in this particular situation, you drive this into the ground to the point where this guy is looking at the reality of playing for $1-2 million on his next contract. And it's going to be like a 1-year deal.
I tell you what, HB and those other guys better be looking at their agent and consider other options, especially with how he has handled this entire situation. I mean, just complete enablement, total complaining, childish behavior across the board. But this has been nothing new with Marvin Bagley and his camp. And again, to be fair to Marvin, it's not anything that he's really said except for on his one episode of his podcast, making some BS excuse that he was so motivated by Trae Young's play in the playoffs that he decided to like a tweet suggesting everything was the Sacramento King's fault and he needed to be traded. Whatever, that's the only thing that he said. But the people around him, the things that are constantly being said about people who are attached to him by blood, people attached to him by financial purposes, or his manager or whoever the heck that lady is on social media, like, these people are the reason why Marvin is where he is at, in addition to the injuries. But it'd be one thing, like, we've seen, and the case of Jaren Jackson Jr. is incredibly telling to me, because if Marvin Bagley was bought into what the Sacramento Kings were trying to do, the same way Jaren Jackson Jr. is bought into what the Memphis Grizzlies are doing, there is a place on this roster for Marvin. There is a future here in Sacramento for Marvin, and there are at least, I mean, there's at least millions on the table for Marvin Bagley over the course of a few years. Now Marvin is looking at absolutely no opportunity, no future here in Sacramento. And Sacramento was the best opportunity that he had to get the most amount of money he's going to have. Now he's going to hit unrestricted free agency more than likely next summer. And he is going to be scraping and scratching and clawing for pennies on the dollar to go to an organization that's going to be a little bit hopeful that they can turn him into something. And if they don't, he's out of the league. It's embarrassing for a former number two overall pick. And in the end, he's going to have to stare himself in the mirror and recognize the part that he and the people around him played in his demise in the NBA. The kid he was carrying a basketball onto an airplane when he first arrived in Sacramento, that kid has been completely erased by whatever the heck this version is. I don't know if it's all his fault, but it has to do with all the people that he continues to support instead of his teammates and his team.
And real quick, Dame, the other ironic thing about them doing this is this don't hurt the Kings.
Yeah, Kings, that's right.
They've already moved on. They moved on with their roster action over the offseason. They moved on with the rotation. They moved on. They could care less about Marvin Bagley at this point. The only thing this does is how inept you've been this entire time.
Jeff Schwartz just hit us with a, you can't break up with me because I'm leaving.
Yep, 100%. No, you absolute know what? Jeff Schwartz saw the garbage that's going on in Philadelphia right now and went, whoa, 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 this is supposed to be our day to stir the pot. This is the Kings organization that's always supposed to be the headlines in this way. So we're going to make sure.
And here's the thing, though. You did it once before. Like, I'm looking at our crew over on Kings Twitter rocking. I see Joe Adge just when we thought the Kings were drama free going into the season. F that. You did it once before. Send his ass home. Let him go to Arizona. Let him go be with his brother, his dad, Earl. Let him do whatever. He's owed whatever he's owed this year. Send it. Again, you did it last year. Just send his ass home. Let him go home. Get him off of this freaking team. Get him away from these players. And, KC, James just tweeted today the shot of Marvin and any Marvin, you know, seems to be in a good vibe, seems to be in sync with the rest of the team. And it's, you know, it's a weird year for him, but he's doing a good job here. And then here it is. And it, again, as has been the case, this isn't Marvin.
Mm.
This is his people. Now, my guess is, we'll talk to James Hamm tomorrow. And when I say you don't want to miss our conversation with James Hamm tomorrow, I mean you don't want to miss our conversation with James Hamm tomorrow. But I'm going to guess Luke pulled Marvin aside after practice. Here's our game plan as we head to Portland. You're not going to be a part of the rotation. Marvin, upset. Understandably, tells his agent. His agent fires off it wasn't even a tweet. It was like a statement within a tweet. And it's like, all right, that's what we're doing. Hey, I stand by my original sentiment. Send him home.
I agree with you 100%, Damian. Get him the hell out of here. Because the last thing we need, we didn't have a whole training camp of great vibes, good vibes. All the way around, Tristan Thompson, Davion Mitchell, even somebody like Buddy Hield is sitting here saying, I'm going to be the star in whatever my role is. Buddy Hield, the guy who has been known for the last year and a half of pouting when things don't go his way. Even he is sitting here on board with what's going on. Nothing but good vibes. The first sign of bad vibes comes from this guy. Once again, get him out of here. Like, get him. And the funny thing, the interesting thing, the baffling thing about all this, because I could see that happening, Damian, what you laid out sitting here. You get the word from Luke Walton that you're not in the rotation. You mope out of there. You talk about, get me the hell out of here. Where the hell you going to go? Where are you going to go?
Back to Phoenix.
China? Go to China. Mm-hmm. Go to Europe somewhere. You ain't going nowhere in the league. Nobody out here pining for you. Nobody wants to trade for you. What was it last year? Reportedly a second-round pick that Detroit didn't want to give up. Nobody's checking for you, Marvin Bagley. And I hope things change for you in the future, but you got to live in reality right now. Nobody's checking for you. So you want to get out of here so bad. You can get out of Sacramento and get out of the NBA as a whole if you're not careful. It's crazy, man.
You know, oddly enough, I'm relieved at this point. Like, it's, we know, we finally know, like, the Kings are making what is probably the correct decision here. And they are moving on with the group that they know. Luke Walton is going with players in his rotation that he can trust. And look, this is not the roster from the start of last season. This is a very talented Sacramento Kings roster, and it's already going to be difficult for Walton to manage minutes. So it was always going to be a major competition for anybody to get a spot in this rotation. It makes sense that a guy who misses three freaking preseason games, who is already extremely unreliable, is not going to be part of the rotation taken over by players, even if they're new to this team. That's not an argument in favor of Marvin Bagley, because damn, Marvin Bagley might as well be new to this team.
Yeah.
On my podcast, I compared Marvin Bagley to Hassan Whiteside, not player to player, because they're two very different players. But the comparison I made was Marvin Bagley to this roster is the exact same this season as Hassan Whiteside was to the Kings roster last season. He's a big man that fills a spot. He can do a couple of things well. He's on expiring deal. He's a placeholder on this freaking roster at this point. That is what Marvin Bagley is. Marvin Bagley right now to this roster is what Hassan Whiteside was to the roster last year. Except last year at the start of the season, the Kings' depth was so piss poor that Hassan Whiteside actually had the chance to make it. This season, the Kings don't have a spot for Marvin Bagley right now because they have a guy in Alex Len. They have a guy in Tristan Thompson. Hell, Chimezie Metu, I can rely on more coming off the bench to play big man minutes that can actually result in the Kings winning basketball games. than Marvin Bagley's empty stats. And I feel part of me feels bad for Marvin. Like, part of me feels bad for how his career has gone and the expectations that he's had and how everything played out and the injuries that truly, truly aren't his fault. But everything that he could control and that his camp could control throughout this entire situation, they have absolutely run into the ground. Marvin had so many opportunities. Sorry, Casey. Marvin had so many opportunities. So many opportunities in front of the media. In a Sacramento media that is a lot lighter and a lot softer than where he may end up next. Mm-hmm. So many opportunities to take the stand and say, these people care about me. They want me to succeed. They want me to be financially secure. They want me to be the best that I can. They are speaking for themselves. I am speaking for me. I want to be here. And to Marvin's credit, he said the right thing during media day. Said, I'm going to do whatever the team needs me to do. But actions speak louder than words. Where are those actions?
And you know what, Matt and Damian, I can only feel so bad for Marvin Bagley. I like the young man. You guys know I've always supported his talent and everything else like that. But we talk about his the team Bagley. We talk about Jeff Shorts. This is grown-ass man. This is a grown-ass man. They're not doing anything that you're not co-signing and you're allowing to happen. And you have microphones in front of your face every day. You got an IG live. You got so many ways to get your opinions out there. The right hell, when the heat was on, you had no problem putting a podcast out there. When the heat was really on, oh, you got in a production studio and put a podcast because you wanted your voice to be out there. There are so many ways that you can handle this as a grown-ass man. Then you've dropped the ball a number of different times. So when you talk about feeling bad for Marvin Bagley, I feel bad that he hasn't been able to stay healthy. But the way everything has gone, as far as losing the bag and being in this situation and having this perception as an NBA player, that's 100% on him.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a eulogy or a funeral or just a hey, goodbye. But yeah, if you're just
send-off party, that's what
I'm good with it. It's long overdue. If you're just tuning in, Marvin Bagley's agent Jeff Schwartz from his agency Twitter account tweeted, Sacramento has informed Marvin Bagley he is not in the opening night rotation, which is completely baffling. It's clear they have no plans for him in the future and yet passed on potential deals at last year's deadline and this summer based on value. Instead, they chose to bring him back, not play him, a move completely contradictory to their value argument. This is a case study in mismanagement by the Kings organization. That's from Jeff Schwartz, and we're on our full F Jeff Schwartz vibe. But I'll just focus on the first line of that. Sacramento has informed Marvin Bagley he's not in the opening night rotation. We can talk about all this other stuff. We could talk about the end of Marvin Bagley, the end that had to happen. We could talk about the disaster that 2018 draft was. But this feels like, and I think we've seen it here in the chat and we've seen it on Twitter and different, you know, places. This feels like a move Luke Walton is making for the betterment of the team.
Absolutely.
Or you know, whatever role Monty McNair may have in this, or it this feels like we're not talking development anymore. We're not talking about grooming. We're not talking about playing guys to up their trade value. We're talking about getting this team, which has been a disaster for the last decade and a half, back into the postseason in some way, shape, or form. And we have made our decision through preseason. We know Marvin Bagley can't be a part of it.
Hey, and Damian, you're 100% correct. I've been the one saying, yo, give this guy a chance. Let's try one more time, whatever the case may be. That's out the window. I'm done with that. And even more so, Luke Walton did what he had to do for the betterment of the team. Jeff Schwartz did what he felt he needed to do for the betterment of his client or whatever he's trying to do. I'm going to say this. Monty McNair, it's time for you to do what you're supposed to do now. And I'm going with what Damian said. Get him out of here. Get him out of the locker room. Send him home. Send him to Arizona, wherever he's got to go.
Dude.
We'll work on a trade. We'll work on whatever. Goodbye.
Just cut him. Like, what does it even matter at this point? Like, what are you going to trade him for? You going to trade him for a second-round pick, Matt? Like, what are you going to trade him for? We talk about, you know, and that's what Jeff Schwartz can do. And I don't remember, Matt, if you said this during the commercial break or if you said it on the air, but you brought up Luke Walton and how Luke Walton is going to be asked about this. And he's going to give a Luke Walton answer because he's not going to throw anyone under the bus. That's just not what he does. But Jeff Schwartz can go out there and say whatever he wants to. Yeah, maybe there were deals out there. For what, though?
Right.
Like, what are we talking about? Like, what was a deal out there for Marvin Bagley III at the trade deadline or at the summer? Because we had heard the Kings had gotten, they were contacting people and getting contacted about Marvin Bagley.
They were getting no.
For him, man.
Like, so this entire situation is essentially like what Bagley's agent has said. He's trying to paint this picture of further mismanagement by the Sacramento Kings organization. He's trying to paint a picture. And then the sad part is people who don't know what the hell they're talking about or haven't paid any attention to Kings preseason basketball are going to think that Marvin Bagley has played all preseason, had a good preseason, had a chance or earned a rotational spot, and the Kings said no out of a vendetta or just because they're stupid. No. Like I said earlier, the Kings made a smart basketball decision not awarding a roster spot to a player. Take away all of the off-court nonsense from the last year. Take all that crap away. Let's just look at it completely black and white here. Let's just look at it from a basketball standpoint. Once again, your player was hurt, did not play during the preseason when it mattered. This team was trying to use these minutes based off of, I mean, De'Aaron Fox played every preseason game, played 20 to 30 minutes every preseason game. Tyrese Halliburton, I think maybe he rested one game, if I'm not mistaken. Correct. Davion Mitchell played heavy minutes every preseason game. The whole freaking point of this Sacramento Kings preseason was to get a group and get them comfortable playing with one another. Get them so that they could do what Tristan Thompson says this team needs to do, which is hit the ground running starting tomorrow night in Portland. This team wants to get off to a good start and catch teams napping before they get going in December. That is the best chance for this Kings team to ultimately accomplish what they want, which is make the playoffs. That was the goal of preseason, and your player missed 3 out of 4 games. Well, 2 out of 4 for injury purposes. The third, he was not selected. Why? Because that was basically a tune-up for the regular season, and as we can see, Luke Walton and the Kings don't believe Marvin Bagley should be part of this rotation. Because he should not. There are players that are already more reliable, even if they're new, even if they haven't played a minute for Luke Walton yet in Sacramento, they're already more reliable. They're on this roster right now, and you know what they do? They don't put up empty bullcrap numbers and then complain when they're not on the floor in the fourth quarter. They do their job. They help a basketball team win. Marvin Bagley has not helped a basketball team win at any point other than a game or two in his entire career. Let's just look at it from a basketball standpoint and take all the crap off the table. The reason why Marvin Bagley didn't make the rotation is because once again, he's got hurt and he's not good enough. That's it. Now you can add in everything on top, the cherry on top that is the absolute embarrassment of his camp and of everything that's happened over the last year. And that's the candy on top at this point. Like, I'm not saying that didn't influence Luke Walton's decision a little bit, because I know Luke Walton's a human and he may not want to let on that it bothers him, but I know it bothers him just like it bothers everybody else in that locker room. So I'm sure that played a part. But from a pure basketball standpoint, this is the right decision, and that is what matters for an NBA team that's trying to end a playoff drought.
And look here. Make no bones about it.
Matt's we going off.
Matt's turned up. He turned up too. Yeah, he turned up. But make no bones about it. We talked about it yesterday. Not only is Luke Walton fighting for his job, we talked about how he's fighting for his NBA coaching career. Mm. This is it. He has to win. And I don't care what the personal vendetta people think is going on. He's trying to coach for his career. So when he's got his back against the wall and everything to lose, and he still says, nah, we don't want nothing to do with you, that says more about you than it does Luke Walton or the organization. I'm telling you, Damian, you hit the nail right on the head. Get him the hell out of here. Like, do whatever if he wants to go home peacefully, fine. If you got to release him, like you said, do what you got to do. Who cares? Yeah. Get him out. Because I'll tell you this, not only do the Sacramento front office, they can care less about what Jeff Schwartz said. They don't care. They've already moved on.
Yep.
More importantly, and I don't want to put nothing in nobody's mouth, you know what I mean, or any words in their mouths or anything like that. But I can say this, and yeah, this is you got no, I don't want to put any words in anybody's mouth.
Come on, buddy, focus, bring it together. You're thinking about that broadcasting thread we were watching earlier.
But I'll tell you this. I don't think anybody in that locker room could care less about Marvin Bagley or not.
Yeah.
They could care less. They're like, who cares? Who cares?
Yeah.
If they send him home 5 minutes from now, like, so what? If the odds are, if I had to choose whether they'd be distraught or happy, they'd probably be happy. One less thing they got to worry about. Bad vibes, bad energy that they don't have to worry about no more. Monty, get them out.
And D'Lo, you know what else they're costing, or Marvin Bagley's agent, his camp, are costing Marvin here, if indeed the Kings do either waive Marvin or send him home, which I think is a very likely possibility based off of what happened last season and what's happened in the past.
Yeah.
They're costing Marvin Bagley not just millions upon millions of dollars with his next contract, if he gets one, which more than likely he will by some team. It's damn well not going to be in Sacramento. I'll be shocked if it's ever in Sacramento. They're costing Marvin Bagley an opportunity, even if he isn't part of the rotation, even if he doesn't play until 2 months into the season because the Kings have an injury and have a spot open up for him. They're costing their client an opportunity to continue to work in a practice facility that features a guy like Rico Hines, and more importantly, the guy that Marvin is now working with on a daily basis, Doug Christie, who understands what it's like to go up and down in the league, what it's like to scratch and claw and tear your way to carving out a role somewhere when things don't go well in your first spot. Like, Marvin's going to lose a lot more than money with how this entire situation is playing out. He was set up, even if the playing time wasn't there, and he can be pissed off about the playing time all he wants. In fact, I want him to be pissed off. If he's not pissed off, that tells me everything I need to know about a player. If Marvin was pulled into the office by Luke Walton and Walton said, hey, Marvin, you're not a part of the rotation, and Marvin just turned and walked out or didn't say anything, then that tells me everything I need to know. I want Marvin Bagley screaming at that point. I want him pissed off. He should be pissed off, but he also needs to look at the mirror and recognize who's to blame there. But ultimately, Marvin is potentially losing out on an opportunity to work with two guys that can genuinely help him turn things around so that he can go home, work with his dad, his brother, and the other people that are constantly telling him, no, it's not your fault, buddy. It's the Kings' fault. It's the Kings' training staff. It's Luke Walton. It was Dave Yeager. Like, it's a shame. It's just
everybody else's fault. Everybody else's fault except taking accountability and responsibility for the way your career is played out. And that's why I'm not even going to talk about Team Bagley or Jeff Schwartz. Marvin Bagley, you hired him. This is all on you. It's on nobody else. You got veto power over everything that happens in your life in that respect. It's all on you. Take accountability for it. You fumbled the bag. You've ruined your career so far, not anybody else.
And there can be Matt George, host of the Locked On Kings podcast, with us here. Of course, you can catch Locked On Kings here on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts from. It goes back to 2018, where it felt like the conversations about the draft centered on DeAndre Ayton and Luka Doncic. And who would be taken number one. And it felt like a two-person draft, and the Kings were going to wind up with somebody, and then they wind up with Marvin Bagley. And then you had the frustrating situation where it wasn't just Luka Doncic. Everybody centers in on Luka Doncic because I think a lot of Kings fans had wrapped their you know, figurative hearts around him. But then it was Trey. And then you start looking through this draft, and it's like, oh my gosh, this draft is phenomenal. And we got the one that didn't work out. And Marvin was never...
It's very Kings, though.
But Marvin wasn't trash, though. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I said this to Kenny yesterday. You're entering Anthony Bennett territory. He was never as bad as Anthony Bennett was. Like, not even close. At worst... case scenario with Bagley, you're arguing that pick at number two was a stretch. Oh, that's a stretch. He's good. He might not be as good as Luka. He might not be as good as Trey. Hell, I really like Jaren Jackson coming into that draft. I didn't like him at number two. I liked him when I thought the Kings were kind of settled in somewhere else before they moved up in the draft. I like Jaren Jackson a lot in that draft. But it's not something that should have been this. You know what I mean? Like, I still can't. The only thing that'll stick with me with Marvin Bagley moving forward, because I'm done with him, the only thing I'll think about is Jaren Jackson Jr. and the contract that he got yesterday. If Marvin and his agent and his dad and his crew and his business associates had bought in into the Sacramento Kings, would Marvin Bagley have gotten a contract extension yesterday? And would we have been in the situation that we are in right now? That's the only question I'll have. I won't wonder if he was, if this, if that. No, just if he bought in, would he be with the Sacramento Kings for the next 4 years?
I think he would.
I think it's yes. It might not be for the dollar amount that he wants compared to Jaren Jackson Jr.
Sure.
It's probably upwards of $80, $90 million just because of the injuries alone. But like we've talked about.
$80 to $90 million versus nothing.
Yeah. I'll take $80 to $90 million. And I do nothing. But like we're talking about a player who we said time and time again on our own shows, on this show, the best case scenario for the Kings, the chance for the Kings to be the best. And I know, Casey, you hit on this point a ton. You're absolutely right. This Kings team, and it still is the case. Well, maybe it was the case until about 30 minutes ago. The best chance for this team to make the playoffs and this team to be the best version of themselves right now is for Marvin Bagley to be an impactful player off the bench. And I still think Marvin Bagley could right now be an impactful player off the bench. The problem is he's not reliable. Like we've all talked about. Like that's the reality of the situation. So to answer D'Lo's question, yes, I do believe Marvin Bagley would be under a second contract, or maybe they can't come to terms of an agreement because Bagley wants a little bit more money and he's willing to risk going the route of restricted free agency. And at that point, it's an absolute guarantee that the Kings are going to offer that $14 million qualifying offer. Like that's just at that point, that's just standard procedure for a rookie who wasn't happy with his second contract offer. Yeah. Like that's where everything was headed. That's exactly where we should be at this point in time. The reason we're not there all falls on the shoulders of Bagley and his camp. Like that's just the reality of the situation because the injuries alone aren't enough for the Kings to completely cut ties with a number two overall pick. It wouldn't have been enough.
No. The other thing about it is you look at Marvin Bagley and everything that encompasses having him on your roster and in your locker room. It's not worth it. It's not worth the headache. Like you're nice. Like you're cool, you got game, but you're not that nice right now. I've said it a number of different times. While I like his game, he still plays soft. He plays real soft around the rim. He can't make his free throws. He doesn't defend. He's not a shot blocker. Like there's things that I like about his game, but make no mistakes about it. There are plenty of holes. Now, once again, if we're in a situation where the Memphis was in with Jaren Jackson, I would bet on him improving that, but I'm not going to lie. It was a wish upon a star a little bit. And now you're coming with this, with all this continuously, all this nonsense surrounding you. Not worth it, man.
Casey, to that point, let's do a little exercise here. Everybody who's not driving, close your eyes and take a mental snapshot of what Marvin Bagley has been as a player for the Sacramento Kings when he's healthy, the type of player that he is, that softness, but also that maybe that athleticism, that second jump, take that all into one snapshot. Maybe it's a play that you remember and compare that to the video that we saw out of Kings practice a couple days ago of De'Aaron Fox and Davion Mitchell absolutely going to war in a one-on-one game with Tristan Thompson ending up with a block shot, marching up the court, chewing out everybody that he could possibly
chewing
see.
Chewing out Marvin Bagley. Marvin tried to say something. Tristan said, what the hell you say? Kept it moving.
You see the difference? Like, do you see the difference between what the Kings team is becoming, what they're trying to be right now, what the players who have bought in are trying to be, and who Marvin Bagley is a basketball player? The Kings team already had moved on from Marvin. That was my whole point of my podcast yesterday. The Kings were already moving on, and it's clear by his rotational spot. And now, like D'Lo said, this is now Bagley and his camp wanting to have the last word, and they look even worse for it.
They can have the last word. Just go away.
Yeah.
I don't care who has the last word.
Episode two of that podcast, though. Episode two is going to drop soon of whatever the hell that podcast is called. I can't wait.
Halfway decent. I'm hoping De'Aaron Fox is asked about Marvin Bagley, and we hear this.
What they got to do with me? My team.
That's my man. That's my man, De'Aaron. That's our leader right there.
One more time. What did Fox say?
That's the head of the snake right there. De'Aaron Fox asked about Marvin Bagley.
Sit out.
What they got to do with me? My team.
Dead ass.
No, that's the answer.
No, that's the answer. Get your super microphone out of my face.
By the way, for those who are unaware, that's very much not his answer about Marvin Bagley. It was not his answer about Kyrie Irving. I don't want to misrepresent that too much, but I'm hoping that that is De'Aaron Fox's response the first time he's asked the question about Marvin Bagley. And the thing that sucks, yo, we got real live basketball tomorrow. The first media availability is going to be after the game. Now, Luke will speak before the game. But, yo, Kings go out there to get their first win or loss of the season, and they got to be asked about Marvin freaking Bagley?
It's ridiculous. And maybe De'Aaron Fox might say something like that. I hope, I don't know who it is, Tristan or Davion or Tyrese, if they're asked, I don't know, maybe they sound a little bit like Joel Embiid, you know, when they're asked about how they feel about Marvin Bagley III.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does.
At this point, I actually believe Joel was talking about Marvin Bagley this morning.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants.
There you go. Go on about your business. Bobby Marks.
For the season.
Bobby Marks tweeted this. This coincides with everything James Hamm was tweeting yesterday. And again, James Hamm joins us tomorrow. Make sure you are here for that conversation around 3 o'clock. Bobby Marks, one thing to keep in mind with Marvin Bagley III is the starter criteria in his contract. If Bagley does not start 41 games or play 2,000 minutes this season, his qualifying offer for next offseason will drop from $14.8 million to $7.3 million. So I'm sure what old Jeff Schwartz and the crew at XL Sports saw was, oh, in addition to all the money we've already lost, we're about to lose another $7 million on this qualifying offer. Whereas now I think it's set in, they're not getting a qualifying offer from the Sacramento Kings, and they're going to be off in the free agency world. And as we're wrapping up here, Matt, I posed this question a couple of days ago. I thought it was pretty far-fetched. Now I don't. I know he was taken number two overall, but find me the difference between Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley right now. I think there's a very realistic scenario where Marvin Bagley's trying to catch on with teams in the same way that Harry Giles is trying to.
At least Harry Giles wanted to be here and had at least bought in verbally to what the Sacramento Kings were trying to do, and Kings fans loved him for that. Now I'm not surprised as some Kings fans are, and I've been labeled kind of a Giles hater for saying that I'm not surprised that he hasn't found a way to stick. I think that's very, very telling, but I would rather have Harry Giles on my roster than Marvin Bagley at this point, and it's not close. It's just where I'm at. But yeah, it's been quite a demise for two players that in my in a music video that I may or may not have done, I said that was the future front court of the Sacramento Kings. So boy, how things age like fine wine.
No, aging like fine wine would mean they age well.
Yeah. I'm retiring from music.
Yeah. It's aging like milk.
Trash. It's aging like trash, Matt, not like fine wine.
Man, I had like, and I'm still going to do it, but I had such a good just Kings and Trailblazers preview podcast today. Now I got to go from here.
You could still do it.
No, I'm still going to do it, I got to talk about this man some more.
You could.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.